WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. How many of the so-called great recordings live up to their reputations? Classical music critic Lloyd Schwartz has a review of some old recordings that have just been reissued in a series of mid-priced discs billed as the great recordings of the century.
When I started to collect records, one of the most important discoveries I made was that some scratchy old performances transferred from 78s were greater than anything I'd ever hear in hi-fi. I learned this mainly from a series called Great Recordings of the Century. They all had the same cloth-textured jacket with the same code letters, C-O-L-H, and each one included a gray booklet that told you just what you needed to know about the performers, their interpretations, and the works themselves. Angel Records has just begun to reissue them on a new CD series. The invaluable program notes are gone. The vocal discs don't include either texts or translations. How can a new listener tell how moving Hans Hotter really is in Schubert's Winterreise, or Shalyapin's Russian songs and arias? Still, the performances remain unequaled. They're inexpensive, and they've never sounded better. There are several interesting surprises. A Wanda Landowska Bach disc includes her first and far superior harpsichord recording of the Goldberg Variations from 1933, I think the first time it's been issued in this country, as well as her chilling version of the Chromatic Fantasy and Fugue. Some post-war recordings have also been newly elevated to the status of great. These include such choice items as Dennis Brain, probably the greatest horn player ever recorded in all four Mozart horn concertos, Claudio Arrau's Chopin Etudes, and Heitor Villa-Lobos conducting four of his own Bachianas Brasileiras, with Victoria de los Angeles singing and humming along with the cellos in the famous number 5. There's Kathleen Ferrier's heartbreaking version of Mahler's Kindertotenlieder under Bruno Walter, which first appeared in America on the Columbia label. There's Kirsten Flagstad as Dido in the Mermaid Theater production of Purcell's Dido and Aeneas, with the young Elizabeth Schwarzkopf in three different roles. And the first and more radiant of Schwarzkopf's two recordings of Richard Strauss's Four Last Songs. There's an exciting recital album by Bulgarian soprano Ljuba Velich, who is probably the most sexually uninhibited Salome ever to play the part. Her terrifying little nymphette voice could actually cut like a dagger through Strauss's huge orchestra. the version of Salome's final scene released here isn't the famous one conducted by Fritz Reiner, under whom Wehlitsch made her sensational American debut. It's an even more blisteringly erotic performance from 5 years earlier, a 1944 live broadcast on Austrian radio conducted by Lovro von Matejczyk. The uneven sound quality has nothing to do with transmission. It's merely Wehlitsch melting the microphone. Of course, these are only the tip of a magnificent iceberg. When are we going to get Arthur Schnabel's complete Beethoven sonatas, Joseph Szigeti's Bach, Landowska's Scarlatti? At least the landmark Pablo Casals recordings of the Bach solo cello suites are already on the summer agenda, and I can't wait.
Lloyd Schwartz is classical music editor of the Boston Phoenix. He reviewed a new series of reissues on the Angel label called Great Recordings of the Century. This is Fresh Air.